Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clown Ilya Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode. Another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Hello, everybody. How are we doing? It's almost Thanksgiving. We're in the midst of the Eras Tour. Brazil is happening, and I'm recording this ahead of time. So if you're joining or new to the podcast, hello, welcome. I am currently in Florida at the time of you listening to this. I'm visiting my parents. This is Matt's first time ever coming with me back to Florida to spend Thanksgiving with my family, even though we're both from there, which, by the way, we'll get into later in this episode. But so much has happened since we last chatted. We're talking Argentina night two. That is my new Roman Empire. I am quaking in my boots per usual. We've got new lover outfits. We have karma theories that have erupted. And I have a whole written notes section right here for you on reputation updates. So what you can expect from this episode, I want to do a little bit of obviously recapping what's been going on lately, but a lot of you have been asking a lot more personal questions or Swiftie related questions regarding me and my preferences. So I figured we're on episode, 15, 16? I don't even know where we're at. And I have really not fully introduced myself to you guys. So no matter where you're listening from, whether you followed me on Instagram for 3 or 4 years, whether you just found this podcast last week, hello, hi, welcome. It's me, Reagan Bailey, and this episode's going to be all about getting to know the host, me. And every time I say that, I feel like Taylor at the beginning of the Eras Tour where she's like, I'm going to be your host. My name's Taylor. Ha 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 ha. Anywho, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. So I'm not going to lie to you guys. As I'm recording this, I have 4 devices in front of me. Whether you're watching on YouTube and you can see what's happening, or you're behind the scenes listening, driving in your car, whatever it might be, I have several devices in front of me, which is not my jam. I am not a tech girly. So I was just telling my friend the other day how every non-tech girly needs a partner who is a tech guy or gal or whoever it might be. So for me, Matt is my tech support, whereas I know other people, their partner is like a car guy or they're into sports, whatever it might be. Like, your partner needs to have a specialty, and Matt's specialty is by far technology. We love him. He's the best. And if you are familiar or wanting to get more familiar with Matt, definitely check out, I think it's episode number 2 or 3, me and Matt. I was so nervous. It was like one of my first episodes, obviously. And I was so nervous, but I had Matt as a guest on the podcast. Speaking of technical difficulties, we had so many technical difficulties trying to record that. I bought like a whole second microphone, and then we ended up not even being able to figure out how to record in the same room. So like, we recorded a podcast together in our own house, but like in our offices separately. So it was kind of funny. I have no idea what sort of tangent I just went on, but what I'm wanting to do with today's episode, I have the broadcast channel pulled up. Oh, I remember what I was telling you. I was telling you that I have several devices happening because the Eras Tour is currently happening as I'm recording this, but I have been so jam-packed with stuff going on recently that I couldn't even keep my head on straight, and it just so happens that the only free time I have is right now. So we are simultaneously trying to keep updates happening in the broadcast channel. What is it? Today is Brazil night 1, but by the time you're listening to this, I'm pre-recording, so it's probably going to be like Brazil night 3 or 4. But I've got the Swiftie School broadcast channel pulled up, and you guys have sent in your questions for moi, and it's a good mix. It seems like some of you want to know just like random things about my life, and other people want to know more about my Taylor-specific stuff. So let's just start running through, just to give you a little pre-warning here. I don't have this information organized. Should I or could I have done this? Would have, should have, could have. Yes, I could have, but this is a little easier for me. So thanks for sticking along, and let's just get right into the questions. Someone said my makeup is always flawless, and this is a lie. I think perhaps the camera is making you think that my makeup is flawless. I really don't know what I'm doing, and I can't be bothered to do the fancy technique. So whatever gets it done the fastest and looks semi-decent works for me. But thank you. I appreciate that. So someone wants to know, which TS concerts have I attended and where did I grow up? So I grew up all around the U.S. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, actually during the 1996 Olympics. There was a lot happening, obviously, in the city where the Olympics were going on. It was really chaotic. My parents weren't loving the vibes. They didn't feel super comfortable having a newborn with all of the, I was going to say Swiftivities, with all of the Olympic activities happening around town. There were also some bombings that had happened surrounding the Olympics. So 2 weeks after I was born, we ended up moving. We moved from Atlanta to South Florida. Not Miami quite, but like Miami adjacent, I think. I don't know. I need to ask my mom. But we lived in South Florida for a year. After that, we moved to Texas, specifically Plano, Texas, which if you've ever eaten a bag of Lay's chips, which I know you guys have, you can see on the back of Lay's chips, they're all manufactured in Plano, Texas. Random fun fact. I have no clue what else happens in Plano, Texas, other than I lived there for, I think, 3 years, 2 or 3 years as a little kid. That's where my brother was born. And then following Plano, Texas, we moved to Southern California, specifically Orange County, in this town called Irvine, which now is a pretty robust town, but back then it was a fairly small city. It really boomed in the early 2000s thanks to Silicon Valley. And then I think we stayed there for about 7 years, finished out fourth grade, and then we moved from Irvine, California, back to Florida, but this time to Central Florida in Orlando. And if you know anything about Florida, or you are living or from Florida, Florida is like three different states. You've got North Florida, which is an extension of the South. And then you've got Central Florida, which is obviously like everyone just associates it with Disney World and that's it. And then you have Miami or South Florida, which is a totally different vibe than the other two. Each one is so unique in its own way, but I feel like when people say, where did you grow up or where are you from? I lived the longest in Florida. I stayed there from fifth grade up until I graduated college. I did graduate college early, so I was 20 years old when I graduated. But I spent the most time there during like my memorable years of my childhood. So we'll go with that as my answer of where I'm from and where I grew up. And then following the day after I graduated college, me and my mom drove cross country to LA, and I've been here ever since, which was I think 7 years ago now, which is totally wild and crazy. And the time went by so fast, but I knew from the time I was a child and we were moving from Irvine, California to Florida, I told my parents, I will be back here one day. I love it. I'm a California girl through and through. And then to answer your question of what shows I've attended in the Eras Tour, I attended opening night. I went to opening night in Glendale, Arizona by myself. I bought the ticket to opening night so that I think I bought it in January or February, and the concert was on St. Patrick's Day, opening night was. So I went to that one alone. I went to Los Angeles night one. That was also last minute. Me and my brother bought the tickets 2 hours before the show started, and we got standing room tickets because SoFi Stadium opened up this like ring kind of around the center of the stadium. It was like in between level 100 and 200. And it was absolutely perfect because my thought is you stand the whole concert anyways, and they were only like $250 before fees. So of course they ended up being closer to like 400 something when all was said and done. But regardless, my brother wanted to go to the Eras Tour. He was kind of feeling FOMO. Everyone was talking about it once she was coming to town. And when I saw the standing room only tickets, I was like, yeah, we should absolutely go. So opening night, LA night one, and then LA night four was the coolest experience because that was our floor seats. That was the one I splurged the most on. I bought the tickets way, 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 way in advance. And me and Matt went that night and we were in the section. So if you're looking at like where Surprise Song O'Clock happens, we were kind of like right off the diagonal of the stage on the floor. Super epic seats. But honestly, each area that I sat in or stood in had such an interesting experience in itself. On the floor, you know, you get really exciting moments when she's close to you. But otherwise, if you're short like me, I'm only 5'2", which I'm sure someone asked that. I'm 5'2". But if you're short, I find it's like your neck is strained the whole time. And then the higher up you are, you see so many of the stage graphics, the choreography, the formations, whereas you lose out on a lot of that on the floor. So I truly think, like, don't feel like you need to be on the floor in order to have a good time. Because honestly, I think being in the 100s was more fun in some aspects than being on the floor. But that's my two cents and long-winded answer to your question. The next one is a little deep, which I'm totally happy to answer, and I think it's an important conversation to have. And they said, how to adjust to your body size changing as we grow up? Help. This is something that I transparently struggle with every single day. I feel like for me, I didn't really notice many changes in my body from, I don't know, I feel like I kind of looked and stayed the same for most of high school. College, I gained like a couple pounds here or there, but it was like, I never changed clothing sizes or anything like that. And then once COVID hit was where I really saw for the first time in my life my body change. And I think that was probably the main reason most of us gained weight during COVID was my lifestyle changed. And I was so used to being go, go, go. And then I was just sitting at home all the time. And at that time, I was still living by myself. So I was really unmotivated to like get out and get fresh air. There was also a bunch of other stuff that was happening in my life during that time. And so I had gained a little bit of weight. And that was a big adjustment for me. I thought I was going to be able to just like eat good for a week and work out a little, and then it would, you know, fly off. And it didn't. And that's perfectly fine. I think what's most important about our bodies is that you do the most that you can to take care of it, and it takes care of you in return. I'm not saying I have to be a certain weight in order to be a pretty person or feel good or whatever it might be, but it was just an adjustment. And I think that's the reality of getting older, is your body starts to behave differently in ways that you weren't used to. You know, random things start hurting. And I'm only 27, you know, I'm not 50, but I think it is just a weird realization that a lot of people don't talk about. And especially women, we are just so put in a box when it comes to needing to look a certain way or needing to fit in a certain mold or, you know, relate to the models or fit in the sizes. When I tell you, like, I will be an extra small in some brands, and then the next store I go to, I have to size up to, you know, a 10 or a 12. And it's like, what's happening? So if you feel any sort of struggle with that, or you are not comfortable in your body at the moment, or you don't feel or look your very best, I totally relate to that. I feel you. I struggle on a daily basis with that, especially even, you know, when recording this podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, does my chin look less defined than it used to? Or does this head, wearing these headphones make my head look wider? I go through all those same thoughts, and I am actively fighting every day to remind myself I do the very best that I can to take care of my body and nourish it how I can, juggle this beautiful life that I've created. And that's all we can do. So I see you, I feel you, I hear you, I love you on that conversation. And thank you for asking, because I know it's definitely a struggle. The next question is, what is my outfit for the London concert? Nothing like a little whiplash. Sorry for sending you on this treacherous journey, if you will, of answering these questions, because we're going to go for all over the place. I do not know yet. I'm kind of holding out to see what Swiftivities occur between now and next August for my London show. My London show is on August 17th, 2024, and it's at Wembley Stadium. I actually take quite pride in my British accent, so I'm very excited to go back to London, because I have not been since it was my junior year, or actually it was my third year of college, because I only did 3 years, and I went on a study abroad program there. It wasn't really like a long-term program, but I did, now it sounds Australian. That was a little Australian. I switched. It wasn't really a study abroad program. It was more of a like winter break sort of thing. I feel like I'm doing Australian. Trust me, I'll work on it, and I will do a very good British accent by the time London comes around. But I'm holding out for planning my outfit, because I'm not quite sure what's going to happen between now and then. And there might be like a fun music video look I could do. I've always wanted to recreate the Lover era outfit from You Need to Calm Down music video, with like the pin-up curl hair with the pink fuzzy jacket and the bathing suit. But like, I just don't know. I just don't know if that's the vibe I want to go for. A bathing suit with a fur coat might not be like the best option, because if I want to take the fur coat off, if I'm dripping sweat, then I'm in a bathing suit, and I don't know if I'm going to be like super comfortable, but it's a work in progress. Definitely something sparkly and definitely something girly is the vibe for sure. I don't know if anybody's ever asked this before, so I'm happy to address this. Someone said, when did your slogan start and how did it start? So I'm assuming by you saying slogan that you're talking about It's Another Great Day to Be Alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. It's so funny, because I was just thinking about this in the shower earlier today. I feel like this idea or slogan literally just like fell out of the sky into my head one day. I don't know if it was like a guardian angel or something being like, here's a nugget to do this something with your life. But it all started actually with the Met Gala last year. I have been spinning my wheels for so long with content, specifically on Instagram has always been a struggle for me to like really connect with people and build an audience. TikTok is not hard for me to go viral. Like, I can pretty much figure out like what will work and what won't on TikTok. But Instagram for me was always just a total shot in the dark. I always get in my head a little bit when it comes to fashion content, because I've never claimed to be a fashion or beauty guru or expert, but I have devoted my life to developing my personal style. And when I started doing Met Gala commentary, people were really into it. And I was a little insecure that people were going to be like, well, what does this girl know? Or who is she to comment on these people's outfits? But it really seemed to work and people were super interested. I did a video on the Tiffany & Co. diamond necklace that Dua Lipa wore on the carpet last year. And I talked a lot about Karl Lagerfeld and the history behind the Met Gala and the themes and all of that. And people just seemed to really jive with it. So from there, I started talking about the Eras Tour and kind of like looking ahead. I don't even think it was honestly Eras Tour specific. It was something about Taylor's outfits or something like that. And I did a couple of those videos and I would throw in like a couple of Easter egg things I had heard here or there that I thought of. And I did one video, it did okay. And then I did another Taylor video and that one did really well. And I don't know if it was that second or third video where it just came to me one day while I was cleaning my apartment. I was trying to think of like catchy ways to hook people in. If you do social media videos or know anything about marketing, like, you know, a hook in the beginning of your video is super important to kind of get people drawn in within those first 3 seconds. And so I don't know, I was like, oh, I like Grey's Anatomy is one of my favorite shows. And the doctor, the main doctor, McDreamy, he always says something like, it's a beautiful day to save lives. And I think I was thinking about something like that, like it's a beautiful day to something. And then I landed upon it's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. So it just stuck. Like, I think I kept doing it a couple more times and then I never stopped. So that's the story behind that. I can't believe that should have been like my first episode. I don't know why I never talked about that, but now you know. The next question is, what is my favorite Disney movie? Now, I am definitely a Disney girl through and through. I've been going to Disneyland. Being that I grew up in Southern California and Central Florida, I have never not lived for like the majority of my life within a 40-minute drive of Disney. So I'm a huge Disney person. I've been to Disney over 100 times during my life. And my mom started taking me back when I was so little that it was actually free to go. Like, it was free as a baby to like go with your mom to Disney. So my mom would take me all the time before I was 2 years old because it was free. This is a tricky question for me. I think I have to go with Frozen. I love Frozen. I love the songs. I love the female empowerment aspect of it. I love that there's a love story in it, but it's not the main story. And I like that about Frozen. And it's just fun. I love the outfits. I love Elsa. I love her braid. I like that she looks different. Like, she's not super traditional looking in terms of like a Disney princess. Like, her hair is white. She's pale. And I just love it. I love that movie. I mean, maybe that's a boring answer, but I did not realize how long ago Frozen came out. Frozen, I heard the other day it was like Frozen's 12-year anniversary. And I was like, oh, my heart. This is a good one. Someone said, what is my favorite Taylor quote and what does it mean to me? I don't know if I'm going to go with a quote necessarily. I think I'd rather go with lyrics. And there's two that stick out to me. And I think I've talked about one, and that is to live for the hope of it all. That was my birthday Instagram caption of this past year. But for me, to live for the hope of it all is just such a simple reminder of, I don't know, treating your life like, I guess that classic phrase of saying like romanticize your life. That's what to live for the hope of it all means to me. And for me, I feel like I'm kind of living that. I've really been intentional about where I've put my time and energy over the past several years. I kept just telling anyone and everyone who would listen about what I wanted to do with my life. And I was never afraid to tell people what my dreams were. And I think that actually worked in my favor, because what I've learned about telling people your dreams is that people actually really do want to help you and people want to lift you up and be a part of that journey. Whereas a lot of people will give advice and say, oh, don't tell people your dreams. They'll copy you or they'll steal your idea or they'll create the business before you. And I've found that to be the opposite. I think that's looking at life through the glass half empty kind of lens, whereas to live for the hope of it all, I don't know. I just love that. It's really uplifting and simple and easy. And the second one would be, you drew stars around my scars. And I like that because I know it has a negative connotation in the song. Like, she's kind of saying that lyric alone, I feel like I should do an episode on. It's like so heavy. But for me, I take it a little bit differently. I look at stars around your scars as making lemons out of lemonade. And again, it's just kind of that spin on like being hopeful and loving life. So I love that. Thank you for that question. Someone wants to know if I have any siblings. Simple answer is yes. I'm an older sister. I have one brother. His name is Ryan. And Ryan is a professional video gamer. He is very, very, very highly ranked or rated, if you will, on two games, League of Legends and World of Warcraft. And he works for a major e-gaming company. I won't give away too much because my brother is way private, super private, doesn't even have social media. It's wild. Like, Matt's private, but my brother is like next level private. He is like total ghost on the internet. It's kind of funny. Like, when I send him stuff, I have to like download videos because he doesn't even have like social media to log in to like watch the Instagram reel. So yes, I have one younger brother and we are 3 years apart. He was born in 99. I was born in 96. This is a good one. Someone wanted to know my journey from the start of this account until now. So my journey to Swiftdom, if you will, or where I'm at now with whatever you call my account now, is interesting. It was non-traditional. And I think there's a big takeaway from this journey. And that is, I never set out to be an influencer. Honestly, if I'm being quite frank, I still struggle very deeply with the word influencer. I don't like the connotation behind influencer. I don't like the way that it sounds like my intention is to come online and sway people's opinions or thoughts or influence you to do or buy or whatever, because that's not my intention. I like the word content creator, but then I feel like that puts me into a box of just sounding like I create, like I'm a video director or something. So when I first started, I actually was hypercritical of influencers. And that was, I was never posting to be an influencer. I was posting because I own a marketing agency. And I had started that in January of 2020. And I was looking for a way to just get the word out there about my marketing agency, because up until that point, I was just fully word of mouth, which was working well for me, but I knew long term I needed to continue to scale my network. So I started posting just like how to grow your Instagram or marketing tips, and it felt so inauthentic and it felt like work to me. And so I feel like that translated in my content and nothing really performed well for me. Simultaneously, I had been posting very casually on TikTok, talking about my tiny apartment at the time, my birthmark, which I have a birthmark on my face. I could talk about that if you want as well. And I had videos that were doing really well. And at the time, not a lot of people were using TikTok because this was like right before the big boom of it. So I was growing followers really quickly. I grew to 10K within my first month of posting, 50K within like 2 or 3 months, and, you know, 100K within just, again, like a couple months after that. So I grew to 300K plus followers very fast on TikTok, but it didn't feel super honed in. And I didn't really know or think that that was going to turn into a career. I just thought I was like growing this random following. And it just so happened that brands started reaching out and it kind of organically grew from there. So it started as a marketing account. And then from there, people were asking a lot of questions about me. They were saying, you know, tell us about your nails. What mascara do you use? Like, how do you do your hair? Or what do you do for fun? And I was like, well, this is weird because now I'm mixing work and personal. And I finally decided to just kind of succumb and read the room. And obviously, if people were interested in anything but my marketing tips, I was going to lean into that. And I very quickly realized that with just one sponsored post or one or two sponsored posts a month, I was able to make in one video what I was in 1 month with a client doing 20 to 40 hours worth of work. Not to undermine the heavy workload that goes into being a content creator, but it just started to make a little more sense for me to lean into content creation. And I was, to be transparent, having a lot more fun with it. I love social media and I love marketing, but when I'm utilizing my creative brain in a way of like manipulating it to think of strategy for clients, it sometimes takes the fun out of it. So that's my long-winded answer into how I landed here. Was I just started playing around and throwing things at the wall, which led me to where I am now, which was, you know, it was pretty honed in on like birthmark, beauty, and fashion content. And then a lot of like self-love and body positivity has always kind of been thrown in there. That's really important to me. And then obviously the Taylor Swift stuff kind of took over this year, which I'm having so much fun with. And I want to be clear with my Taylor Swift content. My goal is never to be a fan page. I'm not here to report on every waking moment of her life. We obviously talk about a lot of it and we clown about it, and it's so much fun for me. And I absolutely am just in love with her music and her entire discography, and look up to her as an entrepreneur, as a leader, as a woman in so many different ways. But my goal and intention is never to be a Taylor Swift fan page. My goal is to build sisterhood and foster community for people all around the world, and the invisible strength throughout that brings us together or might lead you to me is Taylor Swift. So I am grateful for her to that. And I wish I could tell her that someday, because I think in a weird, maybe twisted way, she was the thing missing for me that would lead me to feeling so much more connected to people. And I think I thought that connection with humans was going to come through in physical way, like I was going to meet more people or, you know, a book club or something like that. But truthfully, she has been able to connect me with more people than I ever would have imagined. And it's made me feel so whole and happy, which I think answers a couple more questions that people had kind of asked in here. But I'm beyond grateful. And that's kind of the weird trajectory and journey that I've been on here on social media. Someone asked about a boyfriend. Yes, his name is Matt, and I could do another episode talking all about him and our relationship if that is of interest. I was thinking about calling these Swifty Side Chat episodes, because we're having like either Swifty Side Chat or Swifty Sidebars, where we can talk about like non-Taylor theory or Easter egg specific stuff. And I'm happy to do more of these Q&As if it's of interest, because I find a lot of joy and fun in just speaking with you guys and being really transparent about my human experience, because I think there's not enough people doing that. Okay, this is fun. Who's your favorite person to listen or talk about Taylor with? Obviously you guys, but I have recently started to love talking with my mom about Taylor Swift. The one thing she's like really bought into, quite literally, is her clothing. I introduced her to like Taylor Swift Styled. I don't know if she actually found that on her own. I think she was reading like an article on Taylor's outfits recently, and she's bought like quite a few of the stuff she's worn. My mom has a lot more toned down, classy, preppy, minimalist style than I do, whereas mine is like very bold, eclectic, crazy, all over the place. And so my mom has bought some of the pieces Taylor's worn, and it's just been really fun for me to connect with my mom on Taylor, because she's not by any means a Swifty, doesn't even really listen to a lot of music in general, but she has been able to like watch theories online. She's on TikTok and watches a lot of TikTok. So she'll send me stuff, or she'll say like, hey, have you heard of this? And it's just become fun for me to clown with her about little random things. I guess this is a natural question to end on as we kind of head into the holidays, but someone asked, what are my Christmas plans? So I had mentioned in the beginning of the episode, I'm spending Thanksgiving with Matt and my family in Orlando. My brother won't be joining us. He is currently on a really cool trip in Korea. But for Christmas, we are going to spend it with Matt's family. So this is like really the first time we've done this whole like adulting thing where we like split up and go to one person's family for Thanksgiving and the other person's for Christmas. And someone asked if we're married. We're not married. We're boyfriend, girlfriend. We've been together for off and on for literally 10 years, which is crazy. But for Christmas, we're going to Oklahoma to hang out with Matt's grandparents and his family. I think we'll do, both of his grandparents happen to live there. We'll spend half of that time in Oklahoma. We're there for a week, half of it with like one side of his family and half with the other side. So I'm very excited for that. I will give you guys a little story time on why the only connection I have to Oklahoma is my name is Reagan. My middle name is Bailey. That's not my last name, even though everyone thinks it's my last name. It's my middle name, but I've gone by Reagan Bailey like most of my life. I haven't gone by it in like meaning that people actually call me Reagan Bailey, but I always sign Reagan Bailey and write it. Like I use my middle name opposed to my last name for everything. Anyways, my middle name, Bailey, comes from actually the Oklahoma City bombing, which if you are a Gen Zer or born anytime after me, if you're younger than me or born after the year 2000, whatever makes more sense in your head, Oklahoma City bombing happened in 1996, and it was a really tragic event. If you want to learn more about it, there's a really good Netflix documentary, I think it's on Netflix, that covers it. But it was really tragic, and it was an attack on a building. A guy basically drove up a bomb to a building that happened to have a lot of government or U.S. government employees that worked there, I believe. And he had a bomb in the back of his pickup truck, and it bombed the whole building. That's like the short form version, not to get so serious. Or I guess I should have done a trigger warning for that. But that's the info I'll give you on that. There was a daycare in the bottom floor of the building. For anybody who worked there, you could drop off your child at daycare. And unfortunately, pretty much everybody passed away that was in that child care. But there was one particular girl named Bailey, same spelling, B-A-Y-L-E-E. And she was in daycare that day. It was around her first birthday, that I think it was actually possibly her first birthday, the day of the bombing. There was a really heroic image of firefighters carrying Bailey out of the building from the Oklahoma City bombing. And it was a symbol used as a symbol of hope. It was kind of this like beacon of peace across newspapers and media outlets the following, you know, days, because people thought at the time of the photograph being taken that she had survived. And it came out later that unfortunately she had passed away, but it is a very heartwarming image of a firefighter taking care of her, holding her following the bombing. And my parents were pregnant with me at the time and were really inspired by, makes me a little emotional, very inspired by that image and by just the story of Bailey and kind of everything she ended up standing for in that beautiful moment. And so they decided to name me Reagan Bailey. And the cool thing that I absolutely love that came out of this is that since then I've connected with Bailey's mom, and she's a lovely woman. And she told me when I connected with her a few years back on Facebook that there's actually hundreds upon hundreds, even thousands of women and people who were named Bailey following that same story that I just told you. And so I am in a Facebook group with hundreds of other Baileys around the world. And I am very, very, very excited to go pay my respect and thank you to Bailey's grave when I go to Oklahoma for the first time during Christmas. So I have tears in my eyes. So special and so amazing. And I feel so lucky to be carrying around her name every single day. So that was a little deep. Whoa. But I really appreciate you guys sending in your questions. I literally answered like 1/1000th of the questions you sent in. So I would be more than happy to continue this Swifty side chat, sidebar situation. Maybe I just call it the SSS, Swifty sidebar side chat situation. Let me know if you have any suggestions on what I should call episodes like this, where we kind of just like sit back, relax, and chit chat and talk about my life and do little Q&As. But I'm very grateful for you in this 'tis the season for gratefulness. And I just couldn't be happier that you guys have joined me on this journey and truly feel like we have built such a Swifty sisterhood. And I love you all. And I hope that you have such a wonderful holiday, no matter what you're celebrating and where you are. If you're alone, I've been there. I feel you. I love you. And I'll leave you with that. Hope you guys have a very happy holiday. Happy Swiftmas is coming right around the corner, so I can't wait to celebrate all of that with you. Can't wait for the final shows in Brazil, and I will see you on the next episode. Bye!
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swifty. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time!